Dangerous shortcut. Come on, Randy called to his two companions. I know we could beat him. You don't want to drag in last, do you? Seeing little response to his challenge, he altered his attack. At this rate, the girls will arrive at the parking lot before we do. 13-year-old John glanced over at his friend Robert, then back at the path. What if we get lost? Lost, Randy laughed. Impossible. The trail makes a giant horseshoe. All we have to do is cut across the middle, leaving everyone else huffing and puffing around in the forest like a herd of dumb sheep. Robert shook his head. Hey, this isn't a race. It's just a Sabbath school class outing. Besides, John added, the leaders told us to stay on the trail. You can get in serious trouble if you don't know what you're doing. Well, I'm taking the shortcut with or without you, the third teenager called as he headed into the forest. See you later, ladies. The two hikers watched their friend disappear into the tangle of branches. Maybe he's right, John sighed. The trail can't be too far from here. Besides, I'm kind of hungry. There's food in the cars. Robert nodded. Yeah, let's go. Checking to make sure that no one else in the group was watching, the two boys dove into the forest and soon were stumbling along behind their determined friend. They walked and walked and walked. Hold it, John said, lifting his hand as the trio struggled to the top of a small rise. Haven't we seen that tree before? Yeah, like four times, Robert nodded. And that little animal path over there looks very familiar, too. Shouldn't we have been at the cars by now? It's getting dark. Next thing you know, it'll start raining. A sudden rumble of thunder rattled the forest calm. Oh, great, John moaned. We're lost in the Smoky Mountains with no food, no shelter, and no compass. Giant horseshoe, yeah, right. Randy shrugged. No problem. Let's just head up the side of that mountain. Should be able to see something up there. No way, John said firmly. It'll be dark in just a few minutes. I say we stay right here until help arrives. Do what you want, Randy chuckled. I'm climbing. Rain began to fall steadily as the two boys watched their companion disappear once again into the forest. Robert shook his head and looked around. What are we going to do, John? I've heard there are wild boars in this forest. John scratched his head. Well, boars can't climb trees, so maybe we should. Robert shivered slightly. Okay, I'm not all that enthusiastic about being some animal's supper. Supper. John sighed as he reached up and lifted himself onto a low-hanging limb. Don't say that word! I know what you mean, Robert chuckled. The two boys found a secure limb high above the forest floor and settled down as best they could. Rain fell heavier as the air grew colder. What if we go to sleep and fall out of the tree? Robert called. John nodded. Let's take our belts off and loop them around the limb. Then we can't fall. The two hurriedly attached themselves to their lofty perch. Next, John took off his oversized army coat and unzipped the inner lining. This he slipped back over his shoulders. Using the large outer lining, he created a makeshift treetop shelter to keep out the pouring rain. There they sat, hour after hour, tied securely to their tree, cold, wet, hungry, waiting for morning. Maybe we should pray, Robert suggested. Are you scared? Not really, the teenager responded. But I'm sure my mom and dad are. They probably think I'm lying dead at the bottom of some cliff. Quietly, reverently, with rain pouring from an angry sky, the two boys bowed their heads and prayed for their parents. Time passed. John groaned in frustration. I can't sleep up here. Neither can I, his companion said. Maybe all the wild boars have gone to bed. You think we should go back down to the surface? We could ask God to protect us down there, too. John quickly unfastened himself and slipped toward lower limbs. Robert followed close behind. Soon they were spread out on soft pine needles under a bent sapling, wrapped in the inner lining and covered with the outer lining of John's army coat. The sound of the rain faded as both boys drifted into a deep sleep.
What's that?
John awoke with a start.
What's what?
The boys looked around in disbelief. It was morning, and sometime during the night, the rain had turned to snow. 4 inches of white powder mantled the trees and shrubs, creating a fantasy land as far as they could see.
Listen, do you hear it?
John whispered, trying to ignore the fact that he and his friend must look like two bears emerging from an underground den.
Yeah, Robert said, tilting his head to one side. Sounds like chainsaws. Not too far away, either. We're saved!
John shouted, reaching for his shoes. We'd better hurry before... The boy paused.
Hey, Robert, he said. I think there's something wrong with my feet. I can't bend my toes, and there's not much feeling down there.
His companion gasped.
Your feet look kind of white, John.
Maybe I'd better go chase down those chainsaws myself. You sit tight. I'll be back with help as quickly as I can. John watched his friend race into the forest, loose snow exploding with each step. Robert soon discovered that those weren't chainsaws they'd heard, but trail bikes belonging to rescuers who'd been scouring the mountains all night long looking for them. John and Robert were quickly transported to a waiting ambulance, then whisked to a nearby community hospital. The doctor was amazed that the only injury the teenagers sustained was a couple of frostbitten toes. And Randy? He'd found a road after hours of wandering through the mountains, hitched a ride home with a passing car, and had sat in front of his television set watching the late-night news reports concerning three hikers lost in the Smokies. Randy was very, very lucky. He'd put himself in much more danger than his two friends. His adventure could have easily turned tragic. John and Robert had been wise. They'd stayed put, made the best of their situation, and waited for help to arrive. To this day, John insists that there was an unseen guest in their forest camp that night. God was watching over us, he says, giving us good ideas, even though we weren't trained in wilderness survival. The shelter using my coat, the belts securing us to the trees. I think God gave us those thoughts. Then he adds, even though we make really dumb mistakes, he sees us through. When our wrong choices put us in danger, God never leaves us alone.